Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
And gentlemen,
let's get ready to be inspired! Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Creasy! Ladies and gentlemen, time to get in the game.
And good morning once again. This is Coach Chuck Creasy, and welcome to another week of American Tennis. And this morning we have a very, very special guest and someone that we've had on before, Dr. Ray Brown, and I think he's already on the line. Dr. Brown, are you on the line?
I'm here, buddy.
Okay, well, listen, Doctor, I've already called you the Thomas Paine of American tennis, and I hope you will take that with a great compliment, because
there are few people
in the United States that are leading the charge on so many issues like you are, and you're at the forefront, and I credit you with so much courage and so much know-how. And you are getting attention there, Dr. Brown, and thanks for being on the show here this morning.
Well, thank you for having me, Chuck. It's always good to talk to you, buddy.
Well, good. And I want to tell the people out there, if you want to call in today, area code 714-583-6853, 714-583-6853 is the number for the UR Tennis Network. This is the letter U, the letter R, number 10, and S Network. And you can get every show on the UR Tennis Network on your iPhone or by going to Blog Talk Radio. But on your iPhone, you basically hit the iPod or the podcast there for the iTunes, and you can get UR Tennis Network every show in the past 2 years. It's fantastic that these are all recorded. Lisa Stone has a great show every Monday on Parenting Aces. She's been on nearly 2 years. Jason Haynes, of course, comes on 2 hours after me every Wednesday, or an hour after me every Wednesday, 2 o'clock Eastern time with his college show. We remind you every week the mission of American Tennis is for you to stand up and to speak out. You know, stay professional, address issues, not people. You can say pretty much anything you want. Nobody can find fault in that. Edmund Burke always says that all that it takes for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. And I want you to remember also, if you can, check out my blog at ChuckCreasy.net, K-R-I-E-S-E, ChuckCreasy.net. I've got camps coming up, too, this summer, 2 weeks at the Citadel. I've got camps in Sumter, South Carolina, Landrum, South Carolina, and Atlanta, Georgia. Don't forget Lexington, South Carolina weekend, and my good friend Mark Hancock there hosts us every year. So, Mark, I'll send one out to you out there, one of the best people I know there, and thanks for the work you do. But, Dr. Brown, I want to get going here with you. You've got so much to talk about, but I wanted to sort of give your introduction. I've got a man sitting with me right now who knows you by reputation, and you've corresponded with him on We Coach Tennis Network and things. But Chuck Waldron is with me today, Dr. Brown. Clinton, South Carolina, 105 youngsters. He has helped earn college scholarships, and I've had him on before, but what do you know about Coach Brown, Dr. Brown, by his reputation, Chuck?
Hello, Dr. Brown. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, nice talking to you, Chuck.
We corresponded not too long ago, and I sure do like your stuff. It's really good. It's really deep, and I like Chuck's description of the Thomas Paine. That's really a proper description of you.
Yeah, for you people out there who don't know Thomas Paine, common sense, right? Is that, could talk a little bit about how influential. You're so well-versed on so many things, Dr. Brown, but though for those of you who don't know your American history, Thomas Paine, what he did, and you were saying, telling me earlier today, Dr. Brown, about how few people really did start the American Revolution and how impacting it became because of. Could you talk about how the momentum was built? That might give us a good starting place.
Well, you know, it came from historically, it starts all the way back in the French and Indian War, and then where the England felt like the colony should pay for the war. And then that just one thing led to another. And I think within the colonies, there was a deep desire among many people to gain independence and become a nation of their own. Thomas Paine was instrumental in laying out the ideas and inspiring people and constantly bringing the important ideas to the forefront. And as a result, one thing led to another. John Hancock and Sam Adams, a couple of interesting people, essentially stirred the pot, and then the British in a position where they really couldn't tolerate that anymore. They had to take some action. One thing led to another there, and then next thing you know, we're in a war with the very distinguished George Washington, one of the great people in history, who was able to persevere and hold the country together and hold the army together to finally defeat the British, and with the help of the French, of course, at Yorktown. So,
Washington was only 3-9-1, they said, but he won the big battle. So, but how does that compare? I bring that up, tongue in cheek. Really, we've got sort of a civil war going on right now, and I guess you've been on the side of the revolution against organized bureaucratical tennis in the United States, Dr. Brown. Everybody, is talking about you now in one way or another. And I wanted to say that, if people agree with the deep, deep way that you address things and you're just profound way of writing and everything, when they agree, they declare genius. If they see it and they don't understand, they often say you are eccentric. Then when they disagree with you, they have some bad terms that they use about you, but you don't seem to care. You keep going ahead and putting your writings out and addressing issues. Can you talk about what is motivating you in some of the things you're addressing right now?
Well, ultimately, my broad-term aim stems from my 33 years in the defense of this country and working in the intelligence and counterterrorism. And to me, everything I see as a possibility or a potential to make the nation stronger and better. Every institution, whether it's the USTA or the MMA or the educational institutions, everything is an opportunity that I see to make the nation stronger and make it better. And you take a highly visible organization like the USTA, they have an opportunity to do special things, and I think that they're squandering that opportunity. But what motivates me is let's make the country a better place, a stronger place, make our nation, our youth stronger, so that this country will continue to persevere in the future. The country we have designed, the democracy we have created, is very fragile. It's very delicate. It's never happened in the history of the world. It can be easily lost. And our consciousness, it's the collective consciousness of Americans, their willingness to stand by their laws, to live within the rule of law and within respect for each other, that makes the country strong. And we need to constantly reinforce that. We need to constantly try and promote that kind of thinking and really try and get back, and I think in today's world, really to get back to the roots that made this country great. We see our youth today floundering, entitlement, selfish, self-centered, rather sit in front of a TV than do engage in sports or activities. When I was a kid, I was always outside doing something. That was quite a few years ago. Kids today are very different, and they've lost their values. And partially the reason they've lost their values is the generation before them has lost those values as well. Since World War II, I'm a child of the generation of World War II. I think somewhere in the 70s, we started losing our way. And I'm constantly, everything I do, every critique I make about the USTA or any other organization is to draw attention back to the fundamental values that this country must hang on to that made this country great. And the USTA offers many examples for me to commentate on. Well, right now the MMA is offering some examples with this Christine Cyborg thing. Another totally different area, but I'm commentating on that right now, and SportsIllustrated.com, I'm getting involved in that because that's an opportunity. Once again, it's an opportunity to make the country stronger, to go back to our values of hard work, our work ethic, of building a strong youth to carry forward. And so the MMA is catching a few of my critiques as well as the USTA. But the USTA right now, because it's in a state, well-established organization, it can do a lot more. MMA is an emerging sport. But the USTA in tennis is a stalwart sport. It's been here practically as long as baseball.
What's the MMA? What's the MMA?
The mixed martial arts sport.
Okay, gotcha.
It's an extraordinary. It's actually taken over, eclipsed boxing in terms of a combat sport. It is the most distinguished. It attracts remarkably smart people with PhDs in mathematics and degrees in astrophysics. It's an amazing sport. It's very very
right.
similar to tennis in the kind of people it attracts. And so it's an opportunity. USTA gives us many opportunities. Go ahead. Excuse me.
It's one-on-one. I want to. You've already got a caller here waiting to come on the line to talk to you. I want to just see what they have to say because I want to sort of tip this round to tennis and see. Caller, area code 865, you on the line?
Yes. Coach, this is Brad Emmendorfer.
Hey, Brad. Dr. Brown, this is Brad Emmendorfer. He's a former number one player for me back 15 years ago already at Clemson, and thank goodness for you to come on the line. I know that you've got some strong feelings about tennis right now. You have three young ones of your own. This is Dr. Ray Brown, and he's been the most outspoken person really in the United States about addressing issues with tennis, but also about our greatest generation. He just started off here speaking about our greatest generation and some of the things that are happening to our youngsters right now. Go ahead, Brad. What was your question?
Well, thanks for having me on. I got on, and Dr. Brown, I listened to you talking about somewhat of a comparison between MMA and tennis, and then baseball was brought up, and actually it all kind of ties together with my life. I grew up playing tennis from about the time I was 11, and when I got serious, and was a high level junior player, and fortunate enough to play for Coach Creasy at Clemson. The reason I say is that it all relates. I just got home from wrestling practice. My oldest child.
Good for you.
My two boys. And MMA, as you say, it's a really an emerging sport, and people wouldn't realize it, but there's so a lot of comparables from the mental side and really individual sport side to tennis, because you're standing out there alone, and then you can't hide from anything. The great qualities you learn from an individual sport are that there's no excuses. You're out there on stage by yourself, and it really builds a lot of character. As you say, there's a lot of highly intellectual people involved in both sports, but MMA really draws a lot of people from all backgrounds, and what it's done is it's really increased the participation in youth wrestling, because a lot of former wrestlers get into MMA, and what's happened to tennis, unfortunately, is with the lack of success or development in our country, I know that there's an increase in participation at a younger age, but at a competitive level, it's not even close to where it once was. And I'll give a couple of my feelings on why I've pushed, or not pushed, but guided my children into other sports. And my oldest child is serious with baseball, but kind of wanted to hear your thoughts and opinion, whether it is the same or different, but the first thing that you think of as a father is what opportunities can you provide for your family, but also where could you lead your kids to the best opportunity. And when I graduated from Clemson, there was 4.5 scholarships in men's tennis. I believe that's still the same, isn't it, Coach?
Yeah, same.
And there was programs dropping. They may have reemerged now, but Maryland dropped their program.
400, Brad, it had reemerged. 400 teams have been dropped.
Well, and it's a real shame, because of my experience in college tennis was, something I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. But when you think about your children, you want them to have the best opportunity. And when you see these things happening, the last thing you want them to do is not be able to experience the same things I did. When they're, I guess I thought it may not be an NCAA Division I sport by the time my children are that age. And if it is, they won't have the same opportunity if they succeed at a high level in tennis as they would in another sport. And I saw that growing up, where you see equal or less successful amateur or, I guess, junior athletes that have a lot more opportunity in other sports. And that's kind of why baseball was the first sport I got my kids in. And Coach and I have talked about this before, but it's not for – not loving tennis, but unfortunately, if you look at how other sports have developed, they haven't changed the core values of the sport. In baseball, you still have to finish the game. You have to get a hit or throw a strike. you know, it's one of the other sports that's not on the time. You can't, if the clock doesn't end, and you have to finish it. You know, wrestling's on time, but you fight to the end, you could be down by several points and still win because of your effort. And as you look at how things are going with development, it seems that other American sports are developing kids and recruiting kids, and in some ways to an extreme that probably is also maybe going overboard. But they recruit baseball players and now football players based on fundamental skill sets and potential. They recruit them and they draft them off of potential based on throwing and catching and batting. And in tennis, it seems that we're going the opposite direction in that you start off, it's about getting your ranking up and playing tournaments, and then you get to the ultimate level, amateur level, where in all other sports, the difference between a college and a college athlete and a professional athlete generally is the speed and the physicality of that sport. Or in tennis, we've now gone from preparing for a 3 out of 5 set match by playing out third sets to now we're shortening the game before we supposedly are preparing for the next level. And the frustration is, you know, the opportunity to reach the highest level as an athlete in our sport now has diminished based on regulations by, you know, the NCAA, but also by the development plan from what I see moving up. I mean, you're not preparing athletes to make it to the highest level if they're shortening, you know, physicality is less of a factor in college tennis than it is in the finals of the junior nationals now, I guess. I don't know how they score it now, but I know that used to be 3 out of 5 set in Kalamazoo. And, you know, how do you prepare for the next level when you know that the college level isn't doing that? So now what I see, the little bit I read, is that kids are now jumping ship too early to try to turn pro, and therefore, you know, they're selling themselves short because they're trying to make it before they're ready. I will just listen to your comments on that, and I'm always willing to learn on where I may be missing something.
So, well, I think your comments are good. You've got to be prepared. If you remove the physicality from a sport, you essentially remove the sport. I mean, you diminish the sport to the point that it's just really a family recreation event. It's not really a sport at all. Sports mm-hmm. typically do require physicality, and tennis requires a significant physicality. And you start diminishing that, you're really going to diminish the game. Another thing is, why is that happening? Who's made that decision to reduce the physicality? That's a handful of people who are possibly not very physical, is what I would guess. But the problem is kids want a challenge. Kids want a challenge, and I think the USGA has lost sight of that they gravitate towards a challenge. When they see something is really hard physically, they go after it, I mean vigorously. And a good coach can bring that out in a child that maybe doesn't initially understand that. Yeah, we get kids coming through our place all the time. They walk through the door. They're a physical mess. They're afraid. They can't. They have no endurance, and so on and so forth. But we put them through in a very careful, measured way to protect them from any injury. Program in which they gain their physicality and they become a different person. That's an amazing thing to see. They come, and after a month or two, when they come to the courts, they're not the same person that first walked through those gates. Their belief in themselves, their self-confidence, their self-image is transformed. They walk upright, more erect. They are more self-confident. They're more self-advocate because physicality is fundamental to all animal species and particularly fundamental to the human being. It is what the physicality is actually what stimulated the development of our intellectual side. Those things are closely bound together. So I think what's happened is the USTA has lost sight of physicality, and I think maybe a lot of coaches don't understand that physicality is important. That's why a new sport like MMA shows you the physicality is important, and not only that, you can develop an enormous level of endurance. What training protocol do you know that's five on and one off? Five on, one off. What training protocol? There is no such training protocol. But MMA is five on, one and off, male or female. There are no difference. Men and women fight in the very same way. And that's the way it should be in tennis. It should be the very same thing. Pampering people does not make a sport. It does not inspire them. It doesn't result in personal growth. It doesn't result in them having a belief in themselves and start to develop a self-confidence and a self-image that comes only, that can come only from accomplishing something difficult.
Yep.
And it's our responsibility as adults to lead them to way to accomplish something difficult while at the same time protecting them from, you know, lifelong injuries. I mean, there's a lot of, I get kids, I got a kid who is a great football player, great example. He comes to me, his right arm has been destroyed. He was a cornerback. Excellent kid. And his parents said he can no longer play football. And he's just driving us crazy. He's a competitor. He needs something. He comes to me, kid comes to me, and I look at him and I say, there's no way you're going to play tennis with that shoulder. I says, well, you learn to play tennis with your left hand. He says, I'll do it. In 5 weeks, he wins his first tournament. He has never picked up a tennis racket in his life. You can inspire, you can bring out that fire inside of a person who wants to do something. He is an amazing player now with his left hand. So, the physicality was important to him. Physicality recovered his self-image. It told him, yes, I am a, you know, particularly for men, but women love it too. Women, as MMA shows, women love to be there. They have the fight gene. So we take all of our kids through this sort of thing, and that transforms them. And so instead of making things softer and easier, we make things very hard, very challenging, but we do it in a careful and measured way. With regard to the so-called pseudo idea of the high bouncing yellow ball, our kids take the ball in the air all by themselves. So they don't let it bounce. That's their creativity.
Yeah.
But it shows they were looking for a challenge. And you know what they do next? They try and get us to hit the ball as high in the air as we can. And they laugh and giggle. I mean, these are the ones that are under, the 10 and under. They're just dying to try, and we hit the ball 30 feet in the air. They're dying to try and intercept that ball. So it's challenge. They really do want a challenge. They don't want to back away from a challenge. But the USTA is going in the opposite direction. It's saying take challenge out of tennis. Make it simple and easy. Take the physicality out of tennis. This is not what you do. This is not why this country has been great. This is not what my father taught me from a very early part of my life. Very early on, we learn to be physical. We understand challenge. We develop our self-respect and our self-image from being physical and doing something well. So I think you're right on in thinking the tennis men and women should be 3 out of 5 sets in the majors. They should there should be no such thing as a 10-point tiebreaker. This is silly. It's absolutely ridiculous. It violates everything we know about how the human being evolved over 2.7 million years of hominids. We didn't evolve this way. We evolved through a physical challenge. It is fundamental. It is fundamental to the human personality, fundamental to their spirit. And so I completely agree with you. That's what we need to do. Let's get physical. Just don't run away from being physical.
Let me jump in there a minute. Brad and Dr. Brown, this is awesome. This is what so many people need to hear this. I'm excited we're going to have this show forever because I'll refer to this many, many times. This about 10 years ago, I had a good friend, Scott Novak, coaching over at South Alabama. He had a really tough player that was sort of injured all the time, and I said, well, what's happened to the guy? Scott made a comment, too many trainers. I go, okay, wait a minute. We don't have a trainer traveling with us yet. He said, well, once you have a trainer around all the time, the kids get injured more. And I go, how does that work? He says, well, he says, every tennis player gets afraid. Every tennis player needs disclaimers. But all of a sudden, once we had a trainer around, they started having all these injuries. And they used to play through these things, and now they have all these injuries. And I sort of chuckled, but it really was the truth. The kids' fear turns into pain sometimes. But recently I was on a conference call with one of these committees I was on. And, of course, I've been pushing 8 very important things that I think are important for the USTA and for us to do. If we're ever to reemerge as a tennis power, we've got to dump 10-point tiebreakers. We've got to dump that point system where we top-down manage. We've got to dump these no-ad scoring things. We've got to dump a lot of other things. But one of the things in trying to talk, one of the people kept jumping in and said, well, the sports science people are saying that this might be too hard and too strenuous if they play more than 2 matches a day. And I went, whoa, wait. Play about 4 or 5 a day.
Crazy.
I can remember playing 12 or 13 sets in one day as a kid. And I wanted to laugh. You know what I always say? I go, my daughter is 10. She goes to swimming practice, and they swim 28 lengths of the pool, 14 laps, to warm up.
Yeah.
And I'm going, and anybody who's a swimmer knows this. My daughter's 10. So I'm saying we've gone to the place where we have too much paralysis by analysis, as they say, and too many – once the trainer is called out onto the field, I've learned that they have to find something because, otherwise – and I got one more good story. Remember Bill Norris, Dr. Brown? Bill Norris?
Sure.
He was the ATP trainer for years and a wise – man, absolutely. And the story about Boris Becker's at 17 years old or 18 when he won Wimbledon, I don't know if you all know, but the first round of the Wimbledon, he sprained his ankle pretty severely. Bill Norris goes out, tapes it up, and says, son, you can play. Go ahead, tough it out. And he would have never won his first Wimbledon today because they would have pulled him out and said, oh, we could have a potential lawsuit or something like this. So you guys are right on with this. And, Brad, just any other comments here? I've got another guy that wants to jump in here and talk here.
Well,
a second. Well, go ahead.
The only thing I'll just say and before I hang up is Dr. Brown hit on the head, and I think if you think about I'm 35, and the height of American tennis when I was coming up was, it's the Rocky story of gutting it out. And you think about when we were at our prime, I picture Jimmy Connors gutting it out at the U.S. Open and Sampras throwing up on the court and making it through, and it was overcoming, adversity of nature, being more physical and like Dr. Brown said, it builds self-confidence for life. If you get through something like that or you're able to get to a certain level of conditioning, your confidence to do anything else, whatever it may be, is greater because of overcoming or reaching levels you didn't know you could. And I think you hit it right on. I hope that that we can somehow get others to see that have influence on the game and the rules. And I really appreciate the conversation, and you have to keep moving forward and hope for.
Well, your instincts as a parent are right. Comfort bears no fruit. Hard to pick up is hard to put down. Easy to pick up is easy to put down. We should not dumb down anymore the greatest sport in the world. It's tragic that we think so little of our sport as far as character building and you don't build character through comfort. Brad Emmendorfer, thanks for being on, and thanks very much there. I got to go to commercial, Dr. Brown. I'll be right back. We got some other people that want to talk to you. Fascinating conversation, Dr. Ray Brown, here today. Thanks for being on. And this is Coach Chuck Creasy, and I want to talk to you about our 2014 Total Tennis Training Camps. Once again, for the 38th summer, Total Tennis Training Camps will be conducted in South Carolina. 2 weeks this year in Charleston, a week in Sumter and Landrum, South Carolina, as far as weekend camps in Atlanta and Lexington. Our Total Tennis Training Camps are much more than your normal camps. The physical, the mental, and the emotional parts of the camp are all addressed. It's much more than just hitting the ball. What about the power momentum? Every sporting event talks about the power momentum. Since 1979, I've been working on 8 simple rules to teach your child how to control momentum on the court. The whole game of tennis is based on momentum. You have it, then you don't. It's like chasing a cat. The harder you chase it, the more that tennis match will run from you. Sometimes you just need to learn how to have the match come to you. The power of momentum will do this. Look at TotalTennisTraining.com or ChuckCreasy.net. Go to ChuckCreasy.net and get all my radio shows and everything that I'm doing with the blogs and other things. Come to Total Tennis Training Camps this summer. Look for you on the court. Making them in America, Dr. Ray Brown, we used to make them a little tougher, I think, in America. I got Coach Chuck Waldron here with me, and he's got a few things he wants to ask you about, Coach Brown, and then maybe we'll talk about some solutions to what's going on with tennis here in America.
Dr. Brown, I love what you were talking about, what makes America great with our independence and our ingenuity. And maybe that's what we need to do in America. Maybe that's the solution. I think about watching the Olympics a couple of weeks ago, and there was this town up in Minnesota that had many, many pro players and also hockey players playing for the Olympics, and the town was no more than 3,000 people. Maybe that's what we need to do in America is we need to get pockets of development programs throughout the country that could use our independence. We could use our own ingenuity and come up and do something similar to what these guys are doing in Minnesota. What you thought about that?
Well, the USTA should manage things. They shouldn't get involved in developing players. There's lots of great minds out there. They should go out there and support the pockets where the world champions are developed. That's how they come about. They just come out of nowhere, but they're usually these little pockets they come out of, which are typically nowhere. The USTA should support that and get the heck out of a bureaucratic training process which has no real value and has no insight and actually dumbs down the whole process of tennis. You got to use American creativity and ingenuity to its maximum, and it's always served as well as what's made us great. MMA is an example, a great example of American creativity and ingenuity. We've made a new sport, didn't exist. So that's what they should be doing. I agree with you 100%. We don't know where champions are going to come from. Cast a wide net. Go out there, find, put money on people who are dark horse. You don't know where they're going to come from. You want to put money on people like the Bryans and Chuck's program or J.P. Weber's program, and then also people who you have no idea. You have no idea who they are. Because you don't know where that next great person is going to come from.
Yeah, Dr.
And manage
Dr. Brown,
that.
Dr. Brown, something concerns me. I've been speaking a lot against the point system that we use for junior tournaments, not for the fact that kids chase points instead of titles. Titles inspire to win a Kalamazoo, to win a Crackerland tournament, to win the Orange Bowl, to win the Pepsi 16, to win in all these titles. These are what inspires youngsters. Points don't inspire. You know, they have a sort of like value versus cost or something. They don't inspire. And it's not just that, but here's what it's done. Chuck Waldron sitting here with me had 105 kids come out of his program. He could very easily get his kids into very, very good tournaments, very close to the little town of Clinton, South Carolina. By the way, Clinton, South Carolina, I'm going to have him on for a whole show in a week or two, because he right now is trying to preserve some very historic tennis courts in Clinton, South Carolina, by the way, since the 1930s have been turning out players there. They've had some of the nation's players develop there. But the point is, these small pockets like this are cut at their knees before they even get out of the blocks, because of the top-down management by the point system, the point structure. It looks nice on paper, but it is a travesty because of Chuck Waldron or these people who develop these tournaments on their own. They're regulated to these L5s or L4s or something, and they're basically kids don't – the kids have to travel forever to get the points, but also – A entrepreneur is told, listen, you've done good work, however, we're regulating you to third string. You know, and right away, someone like a Chuck Waldron says, well, what the heck am I doing? So it's a travesty. It's a travesty. Any comments there, Dr. Brown?
Well, that's certainly true. The chasing points is no different than taking the SAT over and over. The other day, I looked at one of these AP courses for history, and I was appalled at what they're teaching. They're just trying to memorize some stuff with no understanding of its meaning. You know, they never answer the question, well, so what? Why did this happen? What was the value? Same thing happens with points. Now, the point system can be so intoxicating that let me give you an example. I have several players that are up and coming, and I will have people who are ranked higher withdraw rather than play them. I get a withdrawal rate against our players that's absolutely way out of line because they're afraid of what's going to happen to their points. And so you start withdrawing from tournaments because you're afraid you're going to lose some points or you're going to be be damaged by losing to a person who's ranked below you, who's an up-and-coming person. It shows a distorted value completely. The point system is, and there's one way you could help modify the point system. Take the total number of points and divide it by the total number of tournaments, and that gives you an idea of how far the person got in the tournament.
Okay.
And that's where the ranking system should be based on their average progress and not the total points, which can be very distorting.
That's very interesting. Have you submitted this? I think this would be a great thing. I'd like to talk with you about how to submit that to the Junior Comp Committee and other people to see if that would make a difference, because it really is destroying. It's like kids going to school for grades. instead of to learn. And kids who play for points, and you can go to school every day. I always say you can go to school every day of your life and never be a student. You can play tennis every day of your life and never be a tennis player. You can be go fishing every day of your life and never be a fisherman. You can play piano, and then Chuck Waldron just hit me because he does a lot of fishing, and I say I can whip him on the trout stream, and he's good in the farm ponds. But lastly, I always say you can play piano every day of your life and never be a musician. So what we're doing is, and that's very well put, Dr. Brown, what you said, because if we could figure out how to make our kids tennis players again, they are people who play tournaments, but they are not tennis players. Wow,
exactly.
Dr. Brown, that's beautifully said. I wanted to tell you very quickly, though, Coach Waldron had a point about the smaller pockets. Coach Dan Volk, who I respect immensely down in South Georgia, Kingsland, Georgia, Camden County, Georgia, has done so much for youngsters over the years. But he and I had a wonderful meeting where we went over to the PTR. Now, I respect the PTR tremendously because it was built as sort of a out-of-the-box organization. I think Dennis Vandermeer had Tennis University going and wanted to make it with the bigger organization, as you know. And the other organization sort of, you know, they had a falling out. He went and made PTR on his own, and now it's known worldwide. He had a standard method that he's put in so many countries around the world. He'll always be known for bringing tennis to P programs, schools, and other countries all around the world. And we went and saw, we're going to try a thing called Small Town Tennis USA, where we get some people into into the smaller community. 72% of all athletes that play professional sports are from rural, not urban communities. So, as this develops, I'd sure like to talk to you about it a little bit and get your thoughts. But Coach Waldron had one other thing here. I think that he wanted to talk to you about why people are losing their ambition. The kids just seem lazier than they've ever seen before. I don't want to say lazy kids, but what are your thoughts there? Chuck, you have...
Well, I go back to what you were talking about earlier. We live in the greatest country in the world. We have everything, and that makes us kind of lazy. It makes us look at the things where we don't have to work hard. Kids don't want to do that extra 20% that, in other words, putting it on the line to become very, very good. So I wanted to hear what your thoughts were about that.
Well, that's a very important question. There are two thrusts there. One, we have a lot of in our program. We have a lot of people from Indian, Asia, South Asia or India, and their work ethic is very different than ours. I don't have a single Indian who isn't out there working hard who doesn't even think about trying to cruise. The second thing is, a lot of times when people cruise, it's because the adults haven't shown them how to do something that results in personal development and personal growth. Time and again, we'll have a kid come into our program who's been with other coaches and is discouraged. He's kind of depressed. He doesn't have any belief in himself or her, him or her. And one of our first jobs is to show this child how training and playing tennis can result in their personal development. That is in their own hands. It's something they do with their own two hands. And when that happens, they suddenly, the light comes on, and they are just explosively interested. They're excited. They can't wait to get the tennis. If we have a rain day, they're very upset because they weren't able to get to their tennis lesson because they come there and they discover personal growth. So it could be a lot of the things that appear to be lazy is we've lost the ability to show our kids how to grow. How to develop themselves, how to do something with their own two hands that they'll have for the rest of their life that no one can take away from them.
So as coaches and as players, we're not letting these guys, we're not teaching them how to take ownership.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, oftentimes a coach is so overly micromanaging that the student never has the opportunity to take ownership, to take control of it. And our program, you wouldn't even recognize how it works. It's so unconventional. But it's really keyed around this child taking ownership and making discoveries, discovering how to do things. We don't tell them how to do something unless after a discovery process they need a little hint here and there. Sort of like solving a hard math problem. You give a hint here and there, but you don't tell them how to do it. As a result, once they start getting things right, it's their own thing. They come home. One of the mothers said to me, "You've created the Frankenstein monster, you know. What'd you do to our daughter?" She comes home, she's just got so much attitude now. Because she learned to do things for herself that it was their own personal possession that no one can take away from. That is what you have to do. And that might solve that, plus the fact that, we see other cultures are just have a better work ethic than ours.
What's the name of your program? I'll give you a little advertising plug here, Dr. Brown. How can people get a hold of you?
Well, it's EASI. It's Easy Academy. EASI is an oxymoron, of course, but it's an acronym, Easy Academy. And for our top-level program, we never proselytize or advertise. And here's the reason why. If we proselytize to have a person come into our program and then they don't fit in and we have to throw them out, that's terrible. So a person hears about our program, they want to come visit, we put them through a visit and let them decide, do you really want to be here? Is this a place where you think you fit in? Is this now we do handle a bunch of amateur stuff. At least my head pro has a bunch of the more normal people. But in terms of our top program, you have to usually find it yourself through maybe word of mouth and decide for yourself. We will give you the first hour of training, and you got to make a decision. Is this the place you want to be? Is this where you think you can fit in? And if you do, and it'll show, then you'll come on into our program. And if not, we'll probably won't ever see the kid again.
So it's EASI, and that's great. Okay. But the I instead of the Y, that's awesome. And you write often on We Coach Tennis, Dr. Ray Brown, folks. Dr. Ray Brown, We Coach Tennis. You are in Houston, is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, we're Houston operation. Great weather for tennis. Great tennis.
Yep, for sure. Okay, Dr. Brown, we've got a few minutes left here. I want to ask a couple things. You talked earlier about honoring the rules. We're a country that honored the rules. Now, I could see someone saying, well, Dr. Brown, you're not honoring the rules. You've been pretty much a rebel. You've been the Thomas Paine here who's writing so much. By the way, I'm waiting for your Thomas Paine literature to come out. I'm going to start calling you the Thomas Paine of U.S. tennis. It's your job to save us, Dr. Brown. We have a lot of crises going on. We have so much money out there with tennis, and we have so many facilities, and we have so much know-how, and we have the Internet, we have all these things. We have staffs